in our church have been challenged to go boldly in behalf of God. And the young woman whom they used as an example for going boldly was none other than Esther. But I want to look a little more carefully at the story of Esther, because there are some lessons there that all of us can learn about the very nature of faith. Esther is the biblical Cinderella. You, of course, probably know the Disney version of Cinderella, but you may not know that there is an ancient Christian medieval version of Cinderella that goes back to the Middle Ages. There was a beautiful young woman whose mother died, and as she was dying, she called Cinderella to her bedside and made her promise to stand strong for God, to be a bold witness for God. And young Cinderella agreed that she would do so. But keeping that promise was very hard, because her father married an evil woman who had two very evil daughters. And the three of them conspired against Cinderella. They took her fine clothes, they stole her jewelry, they dressed her in rags, and they made her live the life of a slave. Her father died. And Cinderella's only solace was to go three times a day to her mother's grave, where she would pray that God would relieve her from her oppression. She planted a small twig on her mother's grave and watered it with her tears, and that twig grew up into a beautiful, strong hazel tree. And God sent Cinderella a sign that God was listening to her prayers in the form of a white dove who sat by the grave. Came festival time. And there were three nights of dancing and celebration together. And of course, Cinderella was left home, but the white dove came and dropped down a beautiful dress and beautiful slippers for her to go to the ball. One night, two nights, and the third night, she was so enthralled, she lost track of time and barely escaped before midnight, losing a slipper in the process. The prince took the slipper around through the entire kingdom. And when she came to Cinderella's house, the medieval story says the one evil stepdaughter cut off her toes so she could fit the slipper. The other one cut off her heel so she could fit the slipper. And the prince, who was something of a dum-dum, didn't realize what they had done to fit the slipper. But the white dove told him of the ruse. So he came back and asked to see the slave. And there was Cinderella, whom he instantly recognized, and they fell in love and wed and lived happily ever after. But in the biblical version of Cinderella, the Bible dares ask what happened after they wed. And our Cinderella married not indeed a prince, but a king, a very real and powerful king, named Ahasuerus, the king of Persia, who wasn't always good. He could be impulsive and violent and very self-centered. In fact, the king had a wife, the beautiful Queen Vashti, but Queen Vashti refused a request of the king, and so he got rid of her. Then he implemented the biblical version of The Bachelor. He had all of the eligible young women of his kingdom walk before him, and his eye fell upon this gorgeous, humble, very poised young woman named Esther. And he married her. But then the story takes a dark turn. Esther had a cousin who was more like an uncle to her, and this cousin named Mordecai caught wind of a plot against the king's life. He sent word through emissaries of the plot. The plot was foiled. The traitors were arrested. But in so doing, rather than being rewarded for his duties, Mordecai came to the notice of the king's evil counselor Haman, who convinced the king to kill not only Haman, but all of the Jews in Persia. Mordecai and all of his fellow Jews went into a time of great grief and mourning. The only person who didn't know about the plot was Esther, safely ensconced in the king's palace. But Mordecai sent word to her, this is what is happening. We have only one chance. You have to be bold for God. You have to take a stance on behalf of your people. Now, my friends, children who heard the story, there are some things we didn't tell you about being bold for God. And one of those things is being bold for God is often not really considered normal. Nobody in Persia questioned the king. Nobody in Persia tried to ignore a kingly decree. Everyone in Persia knew if you went before the king without a formal invitation, the sentence was death. It wasn't normal to question the dictates of the king. Esther was being called to do something abnormal, to stand on behalf of her people, to take a stand on behalf of God. And oftentimes in our lives, claim faith to serve God boldly is not a move that other people consider the normal state of affairs. To stand boldly for God, to speak out on behalf of God's people, it often doesn't seem that it does any good. After all, once a Persian king had declared a law, it could not be rescinded. He couldn't take it back. So what was a young woman like Esther to do, the king so powerful? Why stick her neck out when she can't change the law anyway? What good would it do? Children who've been a part of Bible school, you're going to hear over the course of your long lives, I hope they're long lives, you're going to hear, the world is so fallen, it's so evil, things are so messed up, faith won't do any good, boldness for God can't make any impact. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Even when things seem hopeless, take your stand for God boldly, and with confidence that in time, God will make a difference. It's not always the normal thing. It doesn't always seem to be a hopeful thing. And often standing boldly for God is not popular. The Jews were not popular in Persia. Killing them seemed like a crowd-pleasing idea to everybody. Plus, it had the support of the king's most trusted advisor. What was the little girl named Esther, to do? How could she challenge the king? How could she challenge his advisor? How could she challenge the normal way things went? If she goes before the king and she is not invited, he doesn't hold his scepter out to her, she dies on the spot. Why go against the popular feeling? Just stay quiet. But no, she is called to go boldly for God. Going boldly for God is often not considered wise. I mean, as long as Esther keeps her mouth shut, sure, her people will be destroyed. Yes, genocide will take place. But her king doesn't know Esther is a Jew. He doesn't know that she serves the Hebrew God. Why not just stay quiet and hope the truth never comes out? But as Mordecai reminds her, God is a God of justice. This universe is a moral universe. And those who transgress against it will ultimately find their judgment. Esther cannot stay silent. To stand boldly for God requires encountering danger. Your encounters cost. And yet Esther knows to be silent would be the greater sin. Whatever the consequences, she must speak. She must be bold. And she uses her courage and her intelligence. Here's the difference between the biblical Cinderella and the Disney story. In the Disney story, Cinderella is offered, is plucked out of obscurity and given a life of luxury and ease. Esther is given the same luxury and ease, but she is willing to give it up. She is willing to surrender her privilege, even if it cost her her life. So she goes before the king, but first of all, of course, she washes her hair, and she puts on her best dress, and she sprays a little perfume, and then she kind of wanders, sashays in there. And the king looks at beautiful young Esther, and his heart goes out to her. He has not invited her, but he sees her in her beauty and her hopefulness, and he extends the scepter to her. She comes to him and says, "What would you like, my love?" And she says, "I'd like you and Haman to come over to my room, and I'm going to cook y'all a wonderful dinner." Beautiful women who can cook are a real prize in this world. So she cooks him his favorite meal and his favorite dessert, and it's just a wonderful time, and his heart is just overflowing, and he says, "Esther, whatever you want, you can have." And she said, "You have made a decree that all of my people, the Jews, are to be massacred. I am a Jew. If you kill them, you must kill me too." In response to her beauty and intelligence and courage and faith and her boldness for her God, the king says, "Well, I can't take back my word, but I can pass a new law that says anyone who attacks the Jews are allowed to defend themselves, and anyone who attacks them, the Jews gain their property." Who's going to lose their property? By her courage, by her intelligence, by her boldness, Esther saved her people, and she stood for God. When you stand for God boldly, God stands boldly for you. My children who have been a part of our Vacation Bible School, your relationship with God is not just for today, it's not just for this week, it's meant to be a relationship that lasts the whole of your lives, all the way into eternity. When you claim God for yourself, when you trust God with your whole being, when you summon your courage and intelligence for God's sake, God will bless your life. When you claim God, God claims you. Not just for the day, not just for the week, but for the whole of your lives. And each of you in your own way, when you come to this altar and profess your faith, you enter a relationship with your Heavenly Father that will extend for the rest of your days. In your own way, you might be the great prince or the biblical Cinderella. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, you have blessed this church with a multitude of young lives. And we regard each life as precious unto us and unto you. May they hear your call to stand boldly. May they hear your call to exercise their courage and their faith. May they hear your call to claim you as their Savior and Lord, through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God is moved in your midst, we offer you opportunity at whatever age to stand boldly for God, to claim Christ as your Savior, to enter into a relationship with Christ that extends into eternity. Come, stand as we sing together.
Standing on the promises of God, thy King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God.
On this special day, we have a couple of special recognitions where we recognize movement from kindergartners into first grade and sixth graders into the youth program. So I'll ask if my kindergartners will come forward And Miss Lee will present them with a special gift. Kate Blizzard. Harper Cox. And Abigail Easom. They're moving from kindergarten to first grade, and they're receiving a Bible to have in their elementary years. Congratulations, girls. We also recognize our sixth graders as they move into the youth program. If you'll come forward now. Alyssa Goodrich. Emmy Gray. Lily Koji, Layla Scott, Kate Terry, Abby Tillery, and Charlie Whitehead. These are all moving from the sixth grade into our youth program. Congratulations. I would also note a special graduation, Emma Clark. Was not here earlier in May when we could have recognized her, but she graduated magna cum laude from the Harvard of the South, better known as the University of Georgia. And congratulations. She will be attending the Mercer Law School in September, so we're glad to have her. We appreciate all of these. And now we note a number of folks in our prayer concerns. As many of you know, Bill Reeves passed away this week. His service was on Thursday. You may not know that his wife, Mary, passed away the very next day on Friday. Her service will be tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Remember Marcia Calarco? Marcia had a heart attack, and she is at she's at the Med Center. That's Scott's mother. She's had several, but this one was quite serious, and she is at the Med Center. Remember Freda Bird and Susan Milam as they continue in rehab. And some of you might know that Shirley Richard fell a couple weeks ago and broke her ankle. So keep Shirley and her family in your thoughts and prayers. I invite you now to stand for the benediction. I'm going to ask if our parents and babies can come up here also with their families. They too can be a part of the congratulations. Receive now the Lord's benediction. As you leave from this place, may you have indeed the sense that you are a child. For unless you enter God's kingdom with the faith of a child, you will never really understand it. Go in peace and in Christ's name. Amen.